Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey, leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Good Monday morning. This has been talked about for years and years and years. I can remember when Juan Soto first came up as a teenager and we first saw him as a Washington National. People were talking about, man, when this guy becomes a free agent in a number of years, what is he going to get? Then he was turning down $300, $400 million deals from multiple organizations. We saw him go to the Yankees. He talked about his free agency then. We talked about how he was going to rent in the Bronx and buy in Queens. We talked about this so much, we stopped talking about it here on the show because we got sick of talking about it. And it came to a head last night. Juan Soto signs with the New York Mets, decides not to be a New York Yankee for a totality of $5 million over the course of this deal. It's incredible. It is a huge moment for the Mets organization, stealing a Yankee in that way, paying him the most, flexing the muscles for Steve Cohen, especially after last year getting spurned by Yamamoto when he was ready to pay him more than anybody else. But this is just the first step, because this is 15 years of this guy being quite possibly the most, the highest paid player in baseball as someone gets a bigger deal than this. He's got to win. He's got to be great. He's got to deliver a World Series, all of those things. And this contract better not stop them from spending more money, because then I'm really going to get pissed. But today, I'm happy. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, baby. You're right. Thanks, Eddie. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm good, man. But here's the thing. I mean, I want to know whether or not this is going to preclude them from going after more players. It shouldn't, because Steve Cohen is so much, you know, is worth so much money. And, you know, the devil's in the details with this contract, and I can't wait to see all the contract details. Right now, we're being told for the first 5 years of this contract, okay, he's going to get a $75 million signing bonus. That's great. And he's going to end up pulling in a total of $305 million in the first 5 years of the contract, which means that the AAV of that contract is $61 million per year for the first 5 years of the contract. After that fifth year, he can opt out. And hopefully by that time, he's won two World Series and two MVPs, because that's the kind of money that they're paying him. I mean, this comes along with a lot of pressure and a lot of expectations, and it should. And, you know, he's been a guy who's been a really good player. I do not think he's a five-tool player. I think he's a really good hitter. I think he'll slot nicely in the Mets lineup. But after 5 years, if they want to keep him, if he opts out and he wants to stay, they have to raise his then salary of $51 million, which is really, it's not, I mean, it's 51 in salary, but he's got the $75 million signing bonus, to $55 million for the rest of the contract.
Yep.
So it's an insane contract. You know, Steve Cohen has stepped up to the plate here. This is a little surprising because I don't necessarily know this is what David Stearns would have wanted to do, but he was being told to do it.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's a really good point. I would love to get a candid David Stearns take on if he's like, oh, I think we went a little too far with this. I mean, I'm glad we got him, but I mean, I wish it didn't take $765 million.
Right, and I do think that you're right. There is something about signing a Yankee away from the Yankees, forcing the Yankees to go all the way up as high as they did. Especially given the fact that they have Gerrit Cole, they have Aaron Judge, and they have Giancarlo Stanton on that roster. Now you would have added a fourth person to that roster, and it would have been just an insane amount of money that they were spending. They would be kind of like the Dodgers. And I guess in this arms race and in this race for great athletes, and especially on your Steve Cohen, who's trying to do other things over there at Citi Field, he's got to make everything relevant over there, which I think is a good thing. And Juan Soto came to free agency at the right time with the right owner in the mix, and the Mets were not going to be outbid. I never thought in my wildest dreams that they would ever go this far, this much, and for this long. And they did it, and I guess this is the way baseball is meant to be. I can't imagine that the commissioner's office, which I really don't care about, but it could be really totally happy about all of this, the way this thing played out, simply because three quarters of the league don't have a shot. They don't have a shot in hell.
Yeah, and the point of the luxury tax or the Cohen tax is to be able to stop owners like Steve Cohen from doing stuff like this, and it certainly didn't stop him here. I don't know if it's going to stop him in the future to go over a particular threshold, but you know, we sat here for months in agreement when people called up about this before we stopped taking calls on it because we were sick of it. And people would say, you know, having him there with the Yankees and hitting next to Judge and being part of the Yankees and going to the World Series with the Yankees. I mean, you know, maybe he'll take a discount, or maybe, you know, the most money isn't going to matter to him. And we said, no. I mean, no. This guy was going to take every last penny. We said it for months, and he did. Now, do I want to believe that he was all in on the Mets program and is like, yeah, I want to be a Met, and David Stearns is the best and Lindor's the best and this is the best team out there and I want to be a part of it? I'd love to believe that, and maybe some of that thought process went into it, but you can't convince me that if the Yankees had matched that deal that the Mets had, that he would have gone to the Mets. I mean, Steve Cohen was going to offer the most money. We all knew that. And he ended up taking it.
All right, so now he has the most money, the largest contract in the history of Major League Baseball.
In professional sports.
Yeah, professional sports. That, I don't know, Michael Schumacher, how much is he making?
Well,
F1 driver?
Yeah, I don't think it's this.
Ronaldo?
I mean, everybody's Messi? Been saying professional sports.
All right.
Maybe North American professional sports, I don't know.
Listen, at the end of the day, it's all guaranteed. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, for players that are in other sports, they look at this, and, you know, this is very NBA-esque, this type of contract. So it feels, but the fact of the matter that they would go that long with a player.
Well, he's 26, and, you know, you see a guy who is 30 years old and Aaron Judge was getting 10 years. A guy who's 26 years old getting 15 isn't crazy to think.
What I think would have been, it would never happen, but I think it would have been fair. Okay, we're going to give you $305 million over the 5 years of your contract. You have the ability to opt out. We should have the ability to opt out.
Yeah, but then they would never get him.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just, it's remarkable that Shohei Ohtani, who, by the way, you know, had a 50-50 season and led his team to the World Series, is making $700 million and is going to come back and pitch next year as well as hit. I don't know if he'll have as many stolen bases, but this is, right now it's exciting. And hopefully the next 5 years, he is going to be the missing piece. And it'll be interesting now to see what the Mets will do on top of this.
Yeah, and it's not going to be a big starting pitcher. It's not going to be Corbin Burns. It's not going to be Max Fried. I think they're just not in the business of doing that, giving long-term deals out to pitchers anymore. That's just not the David Stearns way, so I wouldn't expect that. So don't think, you know, I got duped into last year thinking like, oh, man, you know, the totally bargain basement hunting with Stearns. No, I mean, it's just that's his philosophy with the starting pitching, and I love it. I love the fact that he's trying to find these guys and get them in the program and figure it out and get them on short-term deals, because once you sign these pitchers to 10-year deals or they, you know, have a Tommy John surgery and everything else, it's just it's a disaster. So I wouldn't expect them to spend a ton of money there. But yeah, they're going to have to. The only thing about this contract that bothers me, because I don't care if he deserves it. I don't care if Otani's a better player and Juan Soto's making more money. None of that means anything to me if it doesn't hold the Mets back from doing everything that they want to do. Because the second that that happens, then I start getting pissed off. Where it's like, okay, the entire team is that guy. You know, like we've seen that in football with the quarterback, which is a different story. Yeah. Where like the rest of the roster sucks and you've got the quarterback. I just don't want that to happen.
You know what? This contract, and I guess the Yankees were what? You said about $5 million.
So it was 16 for 760 was the Yankees offer.
And that's twice as much as they're paying Aaron Judge.
That's right.
That's insane to me. I'm kind of glad that, well, I'm not kind of glad. I mean, now what do the Yankees do? Where do they pivot to? And there are ways, and you and I have talked about this before we really got into all this stuff, that there are ways that the Yankees can end up buying three or four more players for this amount of money.
Well, I mean, yes, but how much impactful? Because you got to think. So it's like their AAV with Soto ended up being $48 million over the 16 years. It was 51 for the Mets and Steve Cohen. So you got to look at it that way. You know, with that $48 million a year, are you getting four good players? Probably not. You know, you could get two really good players if you split that, you know, 25 or $24 million for each player. But it's tough, man, because now you're banking on two guys in free agency to come over that you don't know anything about. And by the way, you know, Juan Soto did come to the Yankees and succeed. He was good. He was really good with Aaron Judge, and they went to the World Series. So, I mean, it's just going to be tough to find two guys that are going to be able to get that production. And now I would be scared if I were the Yankees, because they're probably going to pivot to one of these pitchers. Like, if they end up, you know, giving a ton of money to Max Fried, then he comes here.
They need a first baseman. Oof. They need a third baseman. And they need an outfielder. They need that. That's really what they need.
Yeah.
And you can get three players. Maybe not nearly as long term, not nearly as much money per player, and still be able to refortify your lineup and make it longer. And look, would you be surprised if the Yankees added Pete Alonso?
I wouldn't, and I think that's going to be like it's just going to drive the Yankee fan crazy.
When Pete Alonso is hitting 55, 60 home runs for you,
maybe,
and you have three guys with the potential of. If in fact that's what I would do if I were the Yankees. I'd immediately go get him, put him on the team. I would. I mean, and remember, you know, he was the guy protecting everybody else in the lineup. Now he has the protection in the lineup.
That's true. And he came off a down year. I wouldn't expect him to have another year like that.
I mean, they could a down year, but still. I mean, still a presence, played every game.
Yeah, yeah. They could do a hell of a lot worse than Pete Alonso. The reason I just said the Yankee fan would hate it is just because of all the things that go along with fandom, where now it feels like the Mets are the big brother. We took your guy, and now you're taking our scraps. I mean, that's what it's going to feel like. And that's why this is significant today. Like, this is every dream that a Met fan had when Steve Cohen became the owner was realized last night. Was the biggest free agent is out there. They're going to offer him the most. And they're going to outdo the Yankees.
And I would think that, I wonder if David Stern started with Scott Boras, or maybe it was Steve Cohen who started with, because they lost Yamamoto.
Yeah.
So
they were pissed about that because he flew to Japan, Steve Cohen, maybe twice, at least once, and then had them at the house, too.
I'm assuming that they sat down with Boras immediately and said, look, you know, we don't want to be played here. If we're the highest bidder, we want to know that he's coming to the highest bidder. We don't want to be the highest bidder and then him leave us standing at the altar, because if you do that to us, we will never do business with you again. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, therefore, I would think that Scott Boras, the agent, the super agent, would have said to whoever he was speaking to, whether it be the Red Sox, whether it be the Dodgers, whether it be the Yankees or the Mets, that the highest bidder is going to win, guys. He likes all of you. He wants to play for all of you. Here are a couple of things that we have to have in the contract. If you're willing to meet those contracts and the contract requirements, and you are the highest bidder, then therefore we will accept that offer and we're not playing anybody here. So that, to me, if he would have signed with the Yankees for less money, that would have been the ultimate indignity for Steve Cohen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like it was trending in that direction from a lot of the reporting before last night, and I never believed that he was going to take less money. But, I mean, you think about it. So, yes, the AAV is different. The signing bonus is different, all of those things. But over the course of the contract, it was a difference between $5 million. So if you're a Yankee fan this morning, like C-Mac, and I'm driving in, and he's trying to think about this. This is the first time this has ever happened to him.
Yes.
That a player has said the Yankees aren't good enough. Like, we're talking the difference between 760 and 765, and he spent a year with the Yankees, you know, hitting in the same lineup as Aaron Judge and going to the World Series in the pinstripes, and he let $5 million make him go to Queens and put on a Mets uniform. And that is a tough pill to swallow for the Yankees fan this morning. And it's never happened to them.
All right, so in order for this contract to be considered a success for the New York Mets,
they got to win a World Series, or they got to be consistently in the playoffs with a shot to do it. I mean, I don't care about his individual accolades. I mean, and for Steve Cohen, for it to be a success, it's going to help him get his downstate license. It's going to help him develop that area. He's going to have the ballpark packed. I mean, he wants to win too, but I mean, there's a lot of business side of this too. But for me, as I sit here today, it's all about winning their next World Series. That's what it would have to be.
You know, I'm not so one way or the other about not going with the Yankees or stealing a guy from the Yankees or whatever. I just felt like Juan Soto has been a mercenary since he left Washington. Like, he didn't want to sign the deal with San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He didn't really. I don't know if the Yankees would have offered him a deal before he, you know, before the end of the year. It didn't sound like it. And I feel like he was just a guy, as you have pointed out many times, that he is going to sign for the most money. He's not going to, it has nothing to do with legacy. It has nothing to do with the legacy team. The legacy teams would have been the Dodgers and it would have been the Yankees. That if it was all about legacy, it would have been one of those two teams.
Yeah. And think about this too. You know, Scott Boras last year was embarrassed in that offseason. He was the butt of all jokes. And if his client, you know, didn't cash in this way or didn't take the most money, then it would have been another one of those situations where it's like, oh, I guess you didn't do your job. So it was all part of it. But, you know, Steve Cohen, in missing out last year, made the bigger statement here this year. And it is exciting, but it's also, it does come with some nervousness. Like, I'm not full jubilation, Evan Roberts, Sal Acata, Pete Hoffman, Tommy Lugar, who I saw last night, you know, going crazy on the Rico Bronya live podcast, because you're talking 15 years at $51 million a year. I mean, Juan Soto is a great player. Does he deserve to get more money than Shohei Ohtani, who's won multiple MVPs and pitches and hits?
Or Aaron Judge.
Right, well, younger, so that's a... But yeah, I mean, it's like, I can't answer that question.
Yeah.
With a resounding yes, because it's just not true. So it's a huge day for the Mets. It's a significant paradigm shift in New York baseball, but it comes with a lot of work to do. There is a lot of work to do ahead of us. And for the young Met fan, I'm sure they're absolutely thrilled. For the ones who have been through the wars and have the scars to prove it, we got to see him go out there and be an MVP-type player for years to come.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in, service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket, and if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brother, you deserve it. Get it out. Get it out.
Yes!
I don't want to shortchange you, man. I mean, listen, here's the bottom line. Yankees gave up a ton for this guy, right? They didn't go all in at the deadline. We've had this conversation for a year. It was a stare down. The Mets swooped in and they stole the Yankees superstar. That's it. This is a colossal. I mean, I can't even quantify the depth of the shift in the pecking order now, and the perception, at least the perception, of the Yankees and the Mets. It has completely flipped. You had complete confidence in your guy, Cohen, who now for the first time, I will lean into the moniker. He delivered like a king. He delivered like you said that he would. And before this show gets absolutely nuts, which it will, and we'll hit every conceivable angle, congrats to the Mets fan. You got your boy.
I mean,
you got him.
You mentioned it. We've talked about this for over a year. Like, obviously, we could break down the layers of what this does for the Mets lineup and the Yankees lineup. And we will as the offseason goes on, or even as the day goes on to a certain extent. But this was always bigger than that. For years, we heard about Steve Cohen and that money. And it didn't work, whether it was Scherzer, Verlander. And really, and, you know, obviously, Ohtani didn't want any part of it. We went through the Yamamoto stuff. Really, for me, where it started to turn and said, okay, things are going to change for this Mets organization was when they decided to trade away Verlander, Scherzer, using that money. Mm. Those were king-like moves that was never done before, where Cohen paid the contracts of those guys to go away to get better prospects back. It was forward-thinking. And it was at that point that you had to realize, God, if I'm buying stock in this in a team or an organization, it's in the New York Mets. He will not. Now, the results may vary. I mean, who knows what's going to happen here for the Mets as far as getting the postseason in consecutive years, getting winning the World Series eventually and ending that drought, whatever. Those are results may vary. But this had to happen to put them on equal ground, equal footing. He was not coming here to be second citizen to anybody else. The days of the Mets being little brother, the little engine that could Mets, the second citizen Mets, those days are over. King Cohen is here, and he ain't messing around stealing the Yankee superstar, to your point, BT, and that means everything for the Mets fan just to be on equal footing with the New York Yankees.
Sal, I get
at,
it.
At least equal footing.
I understand. I get it. I mean, it's just the I would imagine the internal battle. Now, I can relate to this as a Jets fan, but since the Giants are so down, it's kind of diminished a little bit here. I can't imagine, because I know it wasn't fun, and it's not fun from a football perspective, being, I don't want to say second-class citizen, but being number two in town, it's not fun. And you do, like, you jump through hoops, and you do these mental gymnastics to convince yourself that, nah, it's not true, but you know deep down that it's true. You know that deep down, you look at the other team, the attendance is better, the revenue stream is better, you know, the success, the record is better, the star players are better. And now you've got a situation where, you know, the seeds were planted. You're right, when they bought themselves a farm system. All right, he's going to do things a little differently here. And then in 2022, they had a good year, and then they went backwards. And then last year, you heard a buzz, and you felt the juice in Queens that felt different from 2022. And still, I never ruled out the Mets. You can go back and listen to any show that we've done. I always left them as viable. I really did. We handicapped this a million different ways. There were some fluctuations. Like at one point yesterday, I thought for sure 99%, you know, 6 o'clock at night. All right, yeah, he's going to be a Yankee.
Yeah.
And then you start seeing some things from a Yankee perspective that are fairly ominous. I'm like, it looks like he's going to be a Met. And then as the night progressed here, Sal, I got to be honest with you. I was waiting for that tweet of Heyman, whomever, that he's going to be a Met, because I thought at the end of the day that Cohen would, he would just win the financial battle with Hal.
Well, and I think that that's the biggest difference here, where the Yankees, see, a lot of Yankee fans thought that the power of the pinstripes, whatever that means, or Yankee history and prestige was going to win out here. And I never believed that was going to be the case, because I thought this player with his agent, being that he turned down that deal with the Washington Nationals, was going to be a guy who wasn't going to give the hometown discount like Aaron Judge did. And this owner is not messing around. So when you combine those two things and the way that it played out, I mean, that may be the most alarming thing, is that even I, who thought Cohen was going to get Juan Soto, we were under the circumstances of, all right, the Mets would be at 750 and maybe the Yankees go to 720 or 7 or 7, whatever.
Yeah, and none of us thought that gap would be wide enough.
Correct. And the gap wasn't that wide.
Mm-hmm.
And you could argue the Yankees made a very good offer. Who knows about the bonus money and all that stuff.
Yep.
Like, there is a difference here. But more importantly, BT, the direction of the Mets organization, Cohen as an owner, forget about how filthy rich he is, the little things, whether it's paying attention to detail about Soto being upset about certain things that went on in the Yankee organization, or where he held the meeting at his house, or those little things, if you're a player and you're looking to sign on for 15 years, not only is the money the best money out there, but you like this owner and a guy who's, you know, billionaire and all those different things. The Mets were, here's the bottom line, it wasn't just the money. the Mets were a more appealing destination than the Yankees because of King Cohen. That, to me, is the biggest thing to come of all of this.
I think that there's a personalization that Cohen has really embraced here that's impressive. I mean, now they didn't get Yamamoto, but that was personalized. And then, obviously, you mix in the fact that he's got basically no financial limits. You know, you start to cultivate these relationships, and you start to, make Queens more appealing than it ever was. So, I mean, here we are. I mean, at the end of the road, it's been a year. Basically, there hasn't been a week on this station, and certainly more so on our show.
Right.
And maybe some of the guys at night, like C-Mac and Keith, they always jump into this as well. You and I have touched this on every conceivable level for a year. And listen, we'll get into what the Yankees can do and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But right now, I mean, hey, you guys won. You smile, revel, had nothing to say. You took Juan Soto from the Yankees. And if there's a Yankee fan that doesn't or isn't able to say that, then you're just not living in reality. Now, there's still 162 games to be played in postseason and more moves to be made the next couple of weeks here or so. Right now, there is one clear winner. It's the Mets. There is one clear loser. It's the Yankees.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. As much as I believe it was going to happen, I can't believe it! Juan Soto's a Met!
Yeah.
Charlie's in Bethpage. Good morning, Charlie!
Oh, good morning, boys! Oh, good morning, King Cohen, Santa Cohen! I don't care what we call him! He delivered to the Met fan base, and it don't get any better than this! It's the wonderful time of the year, and it cannot be better! I almost threw my back out last night when my phone was buzzing! It is incredible! Incredible! And we needed it, but the job is not done for King Cohen. We got to put people around him.
Yeah,
and we have to do it.
Charlie, let's let it sink in for a few minutes before we start worrying about what's next. So just enjoy it, will you? Although, when are you bringing back Pete Alonso, King Cohen? No, I mean, it is... BT, like you said, the Mets have owned this town before in the 80s, right? We were younger, of course, growing up, and it wasn't... And that was before the Subway Series took place, so it was a different type feel where I never looked at the Yankees. Hey, we know their history. The Mets would never be able to match that. It's going to take 50 years, a century potentially, to ever match the history of the New York Yankees, if ever. But in the 80s, the Mets ran the town, sure, but they had that one World Series, and then that was it. And then since the 90s, the Yankees dynasty, it's been lopsided. It's been dominant. All one way. The Mets have been, whether you want to accept it or not, they are second citizen, have been. Not anymore. And I think that's the biggest thing to come out of this, that finally, friggin' finally, the Mets fan doesn't have to take a backseat to anybody. Results may vary, but right now, this move showed they're not taking a backseat to anybody.
Well, Sal, that's why I said there's no way to overstate this. This is a massive historical win for the Mets, and this is right now an absolute gut punch for the Yankees. And you look at the history, and I'm not going to recite chapter and verse, but just how differently or different it was. Like, the Mets were always in their own way, and when free agency, they couldn't get out of their own way. When free agency hit, Yankees bring in Catfish, they bring in Reggie, the Mets bring in nobody. The Mets for years had 11, 12, 13, 14,000 people there. I love Lee Mazzilli, and Lee's one of us. And, but Lee Mazzilli was made out to be like Mickey Mantle or they just never quite had what the Yankees had. And then, of course, the dynasties and the Yankees in the 70s with a couple and a bunch, obviously, the four and then the 1-09. And you beat the Mets in 2000. And even the good Mets seasons outside of 86, and that was a monster team, most of the good Mets seasons almost felt like ones of overachievement or unlikely success stories.
Unsustainable.
Yeah, that's a perfect word for it, because that's something you and I have talked about forever, and that's something the Mets fans craving, where only twice in the Mets history where they've made the playoffs back-to-back years. Listen, I think that this is, I don't need to tell Mets fans this, I'm probably talking more so to my Yankee brethren. Like, if the Yankee fan can't understand what happened last night, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you.
I think they understand.
I think some do, I think some don't.
But it's something nobody's ever experienced before.
That's why I think it's hard to process.
Right.
Now, the exultation on your perspective, your point of view, no doubt. But And again, I will present a different baseball roadmap down the road in the show tomorrow, whatever. And I've talked about that even before this came to fruition. Like, I was somewhat, this is loose, but somewhat okay if it got to a certain point contractually if he went elsewhere. Now, I didn't want him to go to the Mets. I'm not going to lie to you.
Right.
I mean, go to the Dodgers, you know, go to some wild card, go to the Giants, hell, even go to the Red Sox. Like, no, this is personal. This is personal. And the Yankee fans got to man up and put on the big boy pants today and get on the train and walk into work and take the lumps on social media and, you know, the WhatsApp chains and the text messages and all the smack that your buddies are talking. And right now, you can't. You can try. You really can't say a peep right now.
Chris is in Belleville, New Jersey. What's up, Chris?
Hey, wow. So I'll give you the realistic Yankees fans perspective, and you're absolutely right, BT. Hearing the news last night, the first time looking at it, you know, it sucks. I might have wanted him for some of the wrong reasons, and it's obvious that it meant nothing to him to want to be a Yankee when you look at how close the offers were. And, hey, Sal, you know what? Good for you. You never wavered from what you thought was going to happen. Yankees got a lot of work to do. My first reaction is go buy everybody else. But you know what, Sal? Guess what? You got the juice now. You know, no more cute story, no more charity case with the Mets. I think it's World Series, or it's going to be a big disappointment.
And there, great call, Chris, and thank you for
Thanks,
the call.
Chris.
And there are different challenges from even a fan's perspective. Forget about the team and the expectations, but from a fan's perspective, it was cute and fun to have the OMG Mets or the Grimace Mets or whatever other years you want to reference. I never liked it. Doesn't mean I didn't embrace it or get behind it. I don't like the second citizen, the little engine that could, the less than, oh, that's cute, but ultimately you know who's going to dominate, the Subway Series in 2000, the big bad pinstripes, the evil empire. I never, ever stood for it as far as a Mets fan accepting that, and now I don't have to. And I think that's the biggest thing where Mets fans, again, the results may vary, and you're right, I welcome those expectations. Steve Cohen said that he was going to do that. This is not like, oh, yeah, we're going to try our best. Yay, us. No, you go out there and you take it. And Steve Cohen said he was going to do it, and he did do it. And that's why I call him now officially the king. I welcome the expectations of World Series or bust. It may hurt more when they fall short eventually, which you know is going to happen at some point. Maybe one day they do break through. But, BT, I'd rather go into every single year like the Yankees have for the last, you know, three decades.
Yep.
Every single year saying we can beat anybody. At their best, it doesn't matter. Any given year, we're going to win a World Series.
Yeah, and we'll get into, you know, listen, the Mets still have to a lot of, as are the Yankees, the Mets have a lot of things to do. I really think they should focus on pitching. I don't want to get into that now because it dilutes the energy and the enjoyment and just the massive news of Juan Soto leaving the Bronx for Queens. I can't believe it's happened. I mean, I can, but I can't. And I say it out loud, and it has. Listen, when Steve...
Seeing Soto celebrate last night, knowing he's going to the Mets.
In the hot tub with the beer.
Subway Series, here we come. Dude, imagine Soto's first at bat in Yankee Stadium.
He's the biggest villain to me. He's a bigger villain than Pedro. He's a bigger villain than Manny Ramirez. He's a bigger villain than anybody in the history of the Yankees at this point. Because I think, you know, and again, I don't really even want... I mean, it's about the Mets and the Yankees, but I'll tell you this very quickly. Like, the fact that is what hurts the Yankee fan the most. That he was in those pinstripes, and he looked perfect in them. And the energy with the right feel, with the creatures, and just the whole overall vibe. At the end of the day, it meant nothing to him. And that's what hurts the Yankee fan.
The biggest villain potentially in Yankee history.
Meant nothing to him.
Leaving the pinstripes of your World Series year. Hey, Bleacher Creature, maybe give him a roll call when you see him out there. That's a Met next year. Linda's in Forest Hills. What's up, Linda?
Hi, guys.
Hey.
How you doing?
What's Good. Happening?
Sal, take a bow. You finally got one.
Exactly. I needed this one, Linda. Yeah.
Guys, this is the off season that I was waiting for. And if you recall, I talked to you guys last week asking you whether or not the numbers would go as high as they did, and they did. But my point is, this is about the perception of the team. And when Steve Cohen said in the playoffs, I want to change the perception of the Mets, not only to baseball, but to the fans, he had to step up and just get the guy, and he did it. And he deserves all the credit in the world. Thank you, Steve.
I wish he would buy the Jets.
Thank you, Linda.
Honestly, I'll forgive him for Soto if he buys the Jets. Like, I don't know what else you want an owner. This guy, he is a fan of the team. His wife's involved. It's like a family atmosphere. He stops at no cost. And that's the thing. What he said, he was going to transfer. And listen, they can win the championship this year. Still have work to do, as I said, but they could win this year. He said, win a championship in 5 years. Well, even if they don't win it this year, and I know he's kind of amended that a bit, whatever, and I'm not holding him to it. I understood why he said it. Met fans needed to be galvanized. But in the 5 years, he has indisputably raised the profile and changed the entire dynamics in the city with baseball. And of all the things in our city, I honestly thought that was impossible. I thought it was impossible.
Well, we've never seen it.
Yeah, and I don't mean for the one or 2 years, because we talk about the 80s, when it flipped out. I mean like where, wow, you swooped in and you stared a Steinbrenner in the face and you said, all right, I mean, are you done with your moves? Because he's coming to Queens. That's what he did.
I'm not losing a player.
Took him.
You're right. The Mets have had better teams than the Yankees before. The Mets have had better seasons than the Yankees before. They've never stolen the better player away from the Yankees when the Yankees wanted the player. No. The Yankees didn't want Beltran enough.
Yeah, true.
Yankees wanted Juan Soto.
Think about this, Al. Not only did it never happen in favor of the Mets, but the antagonistic Yankees would then take, Met superstars who would stumble upon, bad things in life. Yeah. And not only would they bring him in just to kind of stick it to the Mets and the Mets fan, but they win championships. Doc threw a no-hitter in 96 as a Yankee. So, hey, you guys have been waiting for a long time to give us the middle finger salute. Have your day. Have your day.
Oh,
let's go. I thought there was going to be a red card. I didn't know what the hell to expect from this guy when I walked in today. That's a 12.
When we reset, hit you with the king topic of the day. I've got some stuff.
Let's go, man.
I've got some stuff. It's been on Ice BT for almost a year. It's coming out today.
Let's do it.
I do have to give Tommy Lugauer a lot of credit. And I don't know how many people are aware of this, but last night I was doing a Rico Bronya. Nothing crazy about that. I do a Rico Bronya every Sunday night. It's part of the tradition, whether it's during the season or it's during the offseason. And I was doing it, and as I was doing the Rico, I got noticed that, hey, a decision's going down tonight. So we quickly pivoted into a Juan Soto wait party where we were going to stay on till Juan Soto signed. Mm-hmm. And I had Chris Big Mac McMonagall on a good time. Me and Hoff were talking about Soto. Sal Licata stopped by. And then Tommy Lugauer popped on. And I'm not kidding you. Within 10 seconds of positive Tommy, he didn't even say a word. But 10 seconds of him just showing up on the, as Boomer called it, the bro box on Rico Bronya, the news broke that Juan Soto was signing with the Mets.
I believe in positive Tommy.
So whether it's fair or not, Sean, Tommy Lugauer got it done.
Mm. No, he didn't.
He did.
No, he didn't. That was happening anyway. We knew, obviously, that was why you went to that. We knew he was signing. That's pure coincidence.
Coincidence? There.
Absolutely.
Tommy, do you think it was coincidence?
There are no coincidences in life. The power of positivity, which I've been telling you for months now, brought Juan Soto to Queens. I appeared. Juan Soto, within seconds, signed the contract.
Yes.
Not a coincidence.
He appeared, and it just happened.
Didn't even have to speak. It was the puff of smoke from the Vatican.
He never said a word on the Rico Bronya. That's why I have to describe it visually. And for those who missed it, would you guys like to hear the live reaction that occurred last night featuring me, Pete Hoffman, the great Sal Licata, the great Tommy Lugauer? We were on Rico Bronya. Sal's there, I'm there, Hoff's there, Tommy just appears, and you can hear the confusion, because when Sal first screamed it, I had no idea what he was saying. Take a listen.
I mean, I know what Tommy's going to say.
By the way,
we got Juan Soto, it's over.
Soto! Martino just said it, Mets are getting Soto.
What?
No.
Don't F with me.
Andy Martino, Mets are getting Soto.
Yes! We got him! John Heyman! We got him! We got him! As soon as Tommy came on! Yes! It's time! Yes!
Oh
my God.
And it's not 800, according to John Heyman, Scott Boras. That's right. 15 years, 765. It's over. He is a Met. Oh, man.
David, believe it.
Oh, God. I can't believe it either, John. Unbelievable. So even though you didn't even hear Tommy's beautiful voice,
Tiki, as soon as he appeared in the box.
Does that make you feel good, Tommy?
Makes me feel great. Because I've been waiting for this a long time, Tiki.
Waiting for what?
Well, I'll tell you what I've been waiting for. Because, Sean, you know, you're upset today, and I know a lot of Yankee fans are right there with you. They're very upset. So what I want you to do is pick up a phone and call 1-800-CRY-ME-A-RIVER. And while you're at it, fetch me a sandwich, and I'm a little parched. Get me some water, too. Because now you answer to Evan. You answer to me. You answer to Steve Cohen. You answer to the Rico Bronya. We are big brother. Enjoy. Enjoy. If you could see up to the mountaintop, let me know how it looks.
You're going to cry? We got to squash this one, too, and I know we have still have a lot of show left. I understand the Met fans should feel really excited, and I think I've been pretty cordial about this. In the end, who really cares about big brother, little brother stuff? You have to win a championship, and then you're going to have to win another championship. And then we could have a conversation when you win a third championship about the big brother, little brother stuff. It's great that you got in the weight class and you signed a big deal, but Met fans, again, this is typical in this town, again, and they're not the only fan base. One major thing happens, and they jump 10 hurdles to declare themselves something they're not. You can't be a big brother in anything until you start having parades in this town. You haven't seen one in either of your lifetimes.
Juan Soto had the option to go to the Bronx or Queens. He chose Queens because he knows the future of baseball in this town is with the Mets and not with the Yankees. So if you wanted to, you know, learn about the Yankees, you could read a book or visit a museum. But the future of baseball in this town resides in Queens with a generational talent, Juan Soto.
You guys better hope so, because that little clip from the Rico, that's a lot of fun. That is a clip that becomes a meme and replayed over and over again. Happens for the Mets.
Sean, I love Tommy, and I give him a lot of credit for bringing the positive juju when he came onto the Rico. I don't agree with everything he just said.
You shouldn't.
And I don't. And I'm not.
It's wise of you to distance yourself.
I'm not going to pretend that I do, but don't, and I've heard this a lot over the last 12 hours, don't act like we weren't allowed to celebrate.
No. That's not what I'm saying.
That reaction that Sal had, Tommy had, Pete had, that's a... Hey, Evan, we're really excited, and that's normal in sports. Evan, that's okay.
Evan, I can't stress this enough, because you guys are in unfamiliar territory now as the, you know, the little brother thing. What happens with a moment like last night, heavy lies the crown.
I get that.
And where the Yankee fan has been mocked around here, Yankee Elimination Day, all that stuff, that now becomes profound with the Mets. And when you sign a player like this for $800 million for 15 years... We all know the Mets aren't going to win 15 straight World Series, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like it or not, what now comes with the territory is every time, forget just, they made the NLCS, you made the NLCS without them last year.
Right.
When you don't make World Series and win World Series, you become the, hey, everybody
so
mock them
you're
team now.
Confirming, and Tiki, I want you to see this happening, even though it's not happening with you. The Yankee fan who never hated the Mets just was like, yeah, I don't mind the Mets. They now hate the Mets.
No. No, you're it's
I don't
not
think
hate.
You can hate the Mets it's until they win and start bragging.
You don't think this moment could do enough even though they haven't won anything yet?
Well, maybe if you're short-sighted and you only thing you can think about is losing out on what you thought was the identity of your team, which is what I mentioned earlier. If you missed it, go rewind. And I'll paraphrase. Any free agent that the Yankees want, they get, unless they want to let them go. Forget that, man. It's a different world. We all know it's a different world. And the problem with the Yankee organization is that times have moved and they've changed, and they're not aware or acknowledging that that has happened.
Right.
And so until you become self-aware, you cannot get better, period. I don't have a problem. I'm good. We're good doing the things the way we are. I'm fine. This is business. This is personal. This is certainly running sports organizations. When you think you're fine, you're actually really not. And so I don't think this is about the Yankee fan being upset that the Met fan is bragging. I think the bigger issue is that losing Juan Soto forces the Yankee fan and the Yankee organization to come to terms with the fact that you are lost. Right, you are in a crisis right now, and until you acknowledge that you're there, you're just gonna keep. I don't know. Let's go get this 34-year-old. Let's go get Rizzo from because he won a championship and he's a decent first baseman. But man, he could be washed. Same thing's gonna be with Christian Walker. Who knows? He could walk off the edge of a cliff and just be done. I'm not mean literally, but like as a baseball player. And so, who are you? What are you great at? What do you want to be great at? Not just, let's just go pay the most expensive free agent and and build a roster that way. It doesn't work like that anymore in Major League Baseball. We know this. We've seen it.
Right.
So get an identity. Stop being mad at everybody else and look at yourself.
I think what you said is true, and I agree with a lot of what you said, but I think that being a sports fan, you get very emotional to things. And sometimes I have to speak people's languages for them to fully understand it.
Yeah,
so,
but my point is, emotion doesn't serve a purpose.
No, it doesn't serve a purpose, but it's still the way you react to things. And so I'll give Sean an example that maybe you'll understand. For many, many years, and it's gone back to that now, by the way, too, but for many years, Knicks fans didn't care about the Nets until they took something from them that they wanted. And so for a three-year period, because I think it's dead now, the Knicks fan could lie all they want. Loogie's an honest one, would say, oh, I hate the Nets. I hated them because they took something that I wanted. So for the Yankee fan that has called up this radio station and said, I don't care about the Mets. I root for the Mets. I don't mind the Mets. That's changed.
Oh,
and maybe that's changed permanently because of what just happened.
There are two things, though. When you use the word hate, I don't think there's going to be, like, true hate. You might now, you win a couple rings. Sure, that happens to be.
And it'll be more jealousy manifesting as hate.
And this is what I'm pointing out.
That's some powerful stuff there.
But where Tiki's right is the Yankee fan is very much right now the primary concern with what they do next and pivoting. But when I talk about the Met thing, what you guys aren't prepared for, and this is where I thought you were wrong in the open, is
go ahead.
It's not hate, but LOL Mets now becomes a bigger deal where things that you're going to get annoyed that you get laughed at, well, how could you expect them to win?
You know why I disagree with
it's
you?
It's going to become a thing every year, man. Every time the Mets are out, it's LOL Mets
but
now.
Here's where I think you're wrong. So I've always said that the Jets, the Mets, and the Knicks have the LOL stigma attached to them.
Mm-hmm.
So the New York Knicks are legitimately a good basketball team. Okay? And I don't
now
like them.
Yes.
Well, now they are.
Right.
And I don't like them. If the Knicks lost in the postseason, do you really think I can LOL the Knicks? Or would it just be, hey, I'm happy they lost. Thank God they didn't win a championship. Like, LOL Knicks is dead. Anyone who tries to say it, they're a liar.
Oh, no, you're wrong.
No, I'm saying it, though, as the biggest Knicks hater in the world.
But you're
it's
wrong.
It's ridiculous to do it.
Because the unfortunate world we live in is rings talk, playoff appearances don't. And the more you hype up your teams every year, I got to deal with this with the Rangers, too. The Yankees, I deal with all the time, and you fall short.
There's ALCS a difference
goals.
Between...
You mock the Yankees losing ALCS to the Astros,
there's
dude.
A difference between being an LOL meme on Saturday Night Live or social media versus fans kind of busting your balls. That's very, very different. And that's where I think things have changed.
So yesterday, the Juan Soto press conference happens. The first thing I see as he walks into the room is he taps John Heyman on the belly as he walked right by, which was unbelievable. And it's the only guy, because a bunch of people lined up as he's walking past him, and John Heyman was the only one who ended up getting any sort of affection from Juan Soto.
Maybe he was getting all the inside info from Juan himself. That maybe he was.
Believe it.
I don't know. But good for him. That is a... That's a sign of credibility for John Heyman.
Indeed. Yeah, absolutely. He's been working hard for a very long time with relationships. So, but it was funny after everything that happened to see that. But, you know, I know this is a highly emotional time for both Yankees and Mets fans, but to parse through his words yesterday and make assumptions or take something out of context and put it in some sort of weird, like, shot at the Yankees. I mean, this is what I heard from him yesterday. I heard that this was a guy who was waiting a very long time for free agency. And if, as we remember, he turned down hundreds of millions of dollars from two different organizations. He had been with the Washington Nationals. He had been with the San Diego Padres. And then he went to the New York Yankees. And at the end of the World Series, he said, hey, I am open to all 30 teams.
Open for business, baby. Let's go. Let's rock.
So four teams came up with big offers. And he looked at everything. The Mets had the highest offer. He also potentially liked some of the other perks that came with it. But clearly it was the most money. And he decided on that. And I don't think that he looked at the Yankees in a negative way. I don't believe that some of the stuff that you hear about he didn't like Aaron Judge or any of that stuff. I really believe that Juan Soto had waited all this time for this moment, and he was going to take the best offer.
And plus, he's also had great success at Citi Field, both as a National, Padre, or all three, and a Yankee. I don't know how he did against the Mets as a Yankee, but I will say that he took the most money, folks. He got the most money. He took the biggest signing bonus. He's making $61 million a year for the first 5 years of this contract. wrap your head around that. It's $61 million when you tie in the $75 million check that Steve and Alex Cohen handed him yesterday.
Yeah.
And that $75 million check, obviously he'll pay some taxes on it, but because it's a bonus and because of where his residence is, he'll save $8 million in taxes, according to most of my tax people that you know I talk to about situations like this. And this is an investment by Steve Cohen, not only in the team, but in the bigger picture of what is going on here. And I do believe that he enjoyed his time at the Yankees. I do believe he loved being there and the roll call and everything else. But the Yankees just could not match what the Mets matched. And if you want to say it was the suite is a big deal. That is a big deal. That is a moneymaker for the Yankees. And usually they don't ever give a player a suite. A-Rod didn't get a suite. Jeter didn't get a suite. Mariano didn't get a suite. Roger Clemens, he was in a suite, but he didn't get a suite.
Yeah.
I mean, so they don't get, you know, Aaron Judge doesn't get a suite. And Aaron Judge is the best baseball player in the American League.
Yeah.
And maybe the second best baseball player on the planet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that that definitely helped, but clearly it was the amount of money and the salary that, that was going to sway him. And the issue between the Yankees and the Mets and things shifting was not the fact that, that Juan Soto looked at the Mets as a more attractive organization or a better organization with a better future. It this is the story. Steve Cohen, when he wants to flex his muscles, has more power to do so than the New York Yankees. That's the story.
Well, there's other parts of this, too. And one of those parts you and I witnessed, we both witnessed it at the same time. And it was at Boomer and Geo Live out at the Paramount when we met Jose Iglesias for the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had the OMG diamond-crusted necklace around his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, man, that is awesome. Where'd you get that?
Yep.
What did he say?
Alex Cohen gave this to me. Mm-hmm.
So they get it. You know, these Alex and Steve Cohen get it. They know how to take care of their employees. They know how to, you know, actually say thank you for what you're doing for the team. And, I mean, it was just that to me, as a former player, that is insane.
Yeah.
That happened in such a short period of time.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So now it all starts. And you know, you could the Mets fans can be on cloud nine for a very long time, and they will be. But you know, this is now the expectations are there. This is not the fun Mets of last year where nobody expected anything, and the guys like Iglesias and Winker and everything else. This is now a powerhouse that is going to be looked at completely differently. But you know, and as far as like the pinstripes not mattering, and you hear those things. It didn't matter to Juan Soto. It doesn't mean it's not going to matter to somebody else.
It mattered to Aaron Judge.
Sure, it did. It just didn't matter to Juan Soto. And I mean, that's okay. But I'm telling you, if the deals were flipped and Hal Steinbrenner offered what Steve Cohen offered, he'd be a Yankee. He wasn't going to take less money to be a Met or a Blue Jay or a Red Sox because of the program that they're running. He would have been a Yankee, or he would have been a Blue Jay if they were the highest offer. If Steve Cohen's offer was the Red Sox offer, he would have gone there.
I'm telling you, this thing has been trending towards the Mets way for over 7 months, 8 months, even in the middle of last season when the Mets and the Yankees were playing against each other. Believe you me. I mean, this thing is Steve Cohen was not going to get outbid. He gave Juan Soto a family suite for every home game. He's got personal security for every home game. Like, they're not going to make... I mean, they basically bent over backwards. This is like Barry Bonds when he was with the Giants. Mm. Remember he had, like, three lockers, and it was like an office in a locker room?
Yeah.
Remember when Russell Wilson went to the Denver Broncos, and they gave him a parking spot, and they gave him an office in the building?
Yeah.
That's just what this is like.
Well, let's hope, though, that... I mean, so, all right, his family has a suite. That should not affect the players all that much, because I know they're all jacked up to have Juan Soto there. It's the clubhouse stuff. And as far as we know, Juan Soto is great in the clubhouse. But if it ends up being what Steve Phillips famously said when they turned down A-Rod, we don't want to have a 24-1 situation. If it starts turning into that, then that's a problem. But I don't believe that it will. I really think that Juan Soto is not going to be a prima donna here.
I would say if I were a player, I would be in awe of Juan Soto. And the reason I would be in awe of him is because how he went about his own personal business to get to this point, to get this much money. He turned down, at least three times, turned down extension offers earlier on in his career because he bet on himself.
Mm-hmm.
So that I totally respect
and
that.
Stayed healthy Soto. Throughout,
right? Nobody who's ever played a game could ever take that away from what Juan Soto has done here.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that that's why there's a respect factor that's just built in. I think
there has to be.
Yeah. This is not some schlub who ended up getting paid. Like when he walks to that clubhouse, that respect factor is built in. And there were so many questions directed towards Juan Soto yesterday because it's New York and the press conference was in New York. Why the Mets over the Yankees? Why the Mets over the Yankees? And he said, and also Scott Boras said that, and I believe them when they said this, it wasn't about a Met or Yankee thing. It was about the four teams that had massive offers in front of him.
And the Mets gave him the biggest, most guaranteed money.
Right. They weren't like, is it the Mets or the Yankees? Is the Mets? No, it was like, all right, we got four serious organizations right here. And let's break it down. I mean, that's what it was.
And by the way, you know, maybe saving that $8 million on taxes with the $75 million signing bonus, you could pay Boras off for getting it done for you.
Yeah, true. Yeah, indeed. Yeah, without a doubt.
And yeah, I mean, that it's a big part of it. I mean, when you start talking about money this big, maybe not for a guy like Steve Cohen because he's 10 times or 50 times that, but for the player himself who's going to hit the while the iron is hot, which is what he and Shohei Ohtani have done. You want to try to mitigate your taxes as much as you possibly can.
BT and Sal back on the fan. We'll get back to your calls in a little bit. We wanted to get Susan Waldman's reaction to the Juan Soto news, so why not call up our pal Susan Waldman? Hi, Susan. Thanks for joining us. How you feeling about Soto going to Queens?
Well, the world isn't ending here. And by the way, one of us on this line said the first day that she was on with you said when she met him, he's going to the highest bidder, which he did. And you know what? There'll be people on the New York Yankees. It's a team. I'm not going to be foolish enough to say, well, we're better off. That's absolutely dumb. But life will go on. And now we'll see what Brian Cashman does. I got to tell you guys, I was really afraid of one thing. I think Juan Soto is as good a hitter as I've ever seen, and he's fabulous, okay? He's great. That being said, I was just afraid that they were going to break the bank for this guy and then not do anything else. And I started thinking that when they started hyping up all the great kids they got in the organization, and I'm thinking, uh-oh. I mean, it's fine to have a couple in, but
yeah,
you got to do other things. And, you know, the guys were throwing around on MLB Network lineups and different people. I've got ideas. I mean, and it looks pretty good to me, but nobody has asked me. I have opinions.
Well, let's hear it. Give us the lineup there, Coach. Come on, Skip.
Well, this is what I would do first. Everyone's talking about first base, and I know Pete Alonso is out there. I go get, and people have said this, and we talked about it the day after the season, I think. I go get Christian Walker right now. Because he is, he's older, so you don't have to pay that much for him. But he's not older in baseball-wise because he has gotten better every year defensively and knowing who he is. I remember him in Baltimore a long time ago. But he has gotten better and better. And this defense, should I say, they're a little challenged despite what the general manager says about his team. you need an anchor over there.
Uh-huh.
The other person I go get immediately, 1A is Nolan Arenado. There's your defense, and there's a guy who desperately wants to be in a pennant chase and wants a ring. Desperately. And he'd fit in beautifully here. And another gold glove guy. So there's your defense. And then it doesn't really matter who plays second, as long as you got your anchors on either side. I know people are worried about the shoulder. Cody Bellinger, you put him in center field. If he gets, if he doesn't do that well, if he can't do that all the time, you give Walker a day off and put Bellinger there at first base when he gets a little older, if you need. I mean, these are people that the Yankees have talked about for a while. And don't forget, they have to rebuild that bullpen. They have to rebuild it. I mean, people are gone out of that bullpen. And do you guys trust, I hope he does, but do you guys trust that Luke Weaver is... He's going to do Luke Walker might be okay too. But,
Luke Skywalker.
Do you trust that Luke Weaver is going to do this again?
I like his stuff, but it's an obviously fair question. But I do like
his
stuff.
Okay, but if you go get either Tanner Scott or Devin Williams, and maybe both of them, then what do you got? Then you got all kinds of people.
Susan is cooking up a storm. I love it. Now, listen, I'm with you.
I have one more.
Keep them coming.
Now, this was not me because I did not know he was a free agent. How about putting Jurison Profar in left field?
I saw that the other night on the network. Interesting.
Dan O'Dowd did that. I never thought. This is a, never mind what he did last year. This is a great person to have in a clubhouse.
Yeah, he's intense. He competes. You know, I've already moved on. And it stings. Maybe a little more because it's the Mets. I'll admit that for sure. But yeah. It's not going to look the same next year, Susan, clearly without Soto. But it doesn't mean it can't be as or more effective. It's just going to be an unconventional approach.
It's going to be different. But, you know, you're sounding like he was here forever.
I know.
He was here for one season. It's not like he's a free agent, was here for 6 years, and oh, my God. They knew this was going to happen. And by the way, I was a little bit surprised that Hal went this high. I really was. But as I'm listening to the numbers going up, I was told a while back that at the negotiations for, and I don't know how true this is, but it sounds like this is something that would happen when the Wilpons were, you know, giving, because there were other people besides A-Rod and J-Lo that were up, that wanted that team. You know, the guy from Philly wanted it, the guy the Devils wanted it. And people were telling me that they got the feeling that they were all sitting there or they all had their meetings. And Steve Cohen was like saying, just tell me what the high number is and I'll beat it.
That's what a king does, right, Sal?
Yeah, I'd love to hear that, Susan.
Well,
of course,
but that's what this is, this generation's George. Yeah,
well, so that's what I wanted to ask you. I'm glad you brought that up. I hate the, well, if George were here, because obviously he's not.
No. The times are different and George is not here.
Okay.
But the one thing that Steve Cohen, and I don't know him, so I don't, you know, have any feeling one way or another. I don't know him. But just watching him and listening to him, George had that passion that Steve Cohen has. George Steinbrenner got on a plane and sat and went to Thanksgiving and sat in a hotel waiting for Reggie Jackson on Thanksgiving. I mean, that's something that, well, now Steve Cohen doesn't have to do that because he has people to do it. But that's what George did. That's a passion that I don't see in most owners.
Well, don't you think then, Susan, that if George were here, this might have gone a little differently for the Yankees?
I don't know. I can't, you know, it's hard to say because we're looking at, George was so far ahead of everybody else for years that I don't think it ever would have gotten to that point.
Right.
I mean, George was proactive about absolutely everything. So to say that he would have played reactionary to Steve Cohen, I don't think that would have happened. It would have been fun to watch, though, wouldn't it?
No, I don't think so, because I think that even though George would have, you know, run through a wall to keep Soto, he didn't have the money that Cohen has. No, nobody does.
Well, that's true, but we don't know what George's money back then would translate.
That's true. He's been here for a long time. That's fair.
I mean, we don't know. And the times were different.
Yeah.
And the rules were different.
Yeah.
And then when I read in the paper, I think I read this, that they still aren't over that first luxury cap. I mean, what kind of accountants does this guy have?
They got the Dodgers accountants.
Yeah, right. No deferrals either, Susan.
Well, the Dodgers aren't paying anybody anything.
The hell's going on?
Yeah, right. 10 more years, though, they'll be screwed. But for now, no deferrals. This was a king-like move for Steve Cohen. And to Susan's point, though, BT, this is like the Yankees put themselves in this spot by trading for Soto, a player who was clearly going to test free agency and take the most money. They knew that. They hoped they could lure him with the power of the pinstripes. Maybe George wouldn't have done that. Maybe he would have got him years before or locked him up or wouldn't have traded for him without locking him up. I agree with you, Susan, that George was a forward thinker and would have had, wouldn't have come to this.
George Steinbrenner would have never said, how many years ago is this now? Now we don't need Bryce Harper. He doesn't fit here.
Yeah, exactly.
Guy who desperately wanted to play here, desperately made it clear to everybody. So, you know, we're going back. This is a whole other era. It's a whole different group, and you can't really see. But I don't remember George not getting something he wanted.
Yeah. Well, you know, Susan, I resist this, and I push back on this, although maybe I'm starting to hit a point where it might be time to acquiesce a little bit. You know, George brought the money. George brought the presence. George brought the rules as well. Is it time to loosen up some of these rules, the facial hair, the modern athlete a little different? What do you think?
You're asking the wrong person. No. I don't like it that they don't get dressed up and go on planes like they used to. The Dodgers do. I always thought it made the Yankees special. I just thought his whole thing was made it special. I think a lot of it has been changed a little bit because now people don't remember why George did things and what, you know, the whole thing about the Sox had to be up.
Yeah.
That was only in the minor leagues. What people have forgotten that George said, once you get to the major leagues, you can do whatever you want.
Why the Sox? Just so everybody looked the same?
So everybody was the same. Yeah. Down there. There are things that, you know, that George did that people have just held on to, not knowing the reason.
Yep.
And so they keep going. But I don't really think we need to talk about facial hair. That has nothing to do with anything, right?
Well, no, but more it leads into the sweets as well. Like the Yankees have been, you know, resistant to give a sweet, whether it was for Jeter or Judge, obviously, and in this case, Soto, when it potentially could have cost them.
Who told you that?
Well, it was reported, I thought.
That the Yankees don't give sweets?
Yes. It was that they didn't give one to Jeter, they didn't give one to Judge, and that Soto wanted a sweet for his family, Steve Cohen did, and because the Yankees, I guess, and again, this is not me, Susan, don't shoot the messenger.
Okay.
I'm just giving the report.
I would like to know about that messenger because I can't see the Yankees. The Yankees, you know, we stay in different hotels because they've given away so many sweets on the road in hotels. I know you meant the suite at the stadium.
Yes, yes.
I have never heard that the Yankees have lost a free agent because they wouldn't give. Where were the Jeters sitting? They weren't sitting in the stands. They were sitting somewhere upstairs behind glass.
Yeah, but maybe they had to pay for it.
Yeah, they had to rent it out.
Whereas Steve Cohen said, "Sure, Juan, you want a family suite?
You
it's on the
it.
House."
Okay,
yeah.
I don't think that had anything to do with it. He was going to the highest bidder, and he was going to a place that made him comfortable. He's got friends on that team. You could see by Lindor that he's out of his mind with glee. He's got friends on that team too. There are all kinds of things, and if it comes down to sweets, I can't believe that. I just will not believe that.
And we're talking,
and you know, the man is making $760,000.
What I said,
plunk down $20,000 for a suite.
Amen. Hey,
I mean, it's really the dumbest thing. If you want, you can go through that also. You know,
yep.
We can talk about, you know, he has to sit in the third seat on the bus and not on the second seat on the bus. I mean, it's idiotic. He went for the most money, and God bless him. I mean, he's got that right.
Yep.
And to say that if the Yankees did, I think Hal Steinbrenner went above what I thought he was going to do.
I'm good with what he did as well as a Yankee fan. I really am.
He really did. He really tried.
I hear you.
And the guy was going, and he just ran into a person who has more money.
Susan,
that's it.
Yep. Pardon me. So, Susan Wolman, of course, BT and Sal, I'm a fan. I want to bring it back to something that I think is obviously really important. We kind of touched on it, the young kids, but I want to get more of a specific opinion on this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you Wells, Volpe, and Dominguez. And can you put in the order of... of viability, meaning how you like the most confidence you have in the player to be an all-star or a big-time consistent big leaguer for the Yankees. Wells, Volpe, Dominguez, the order that you like or trust.
Okay, well, Volpe has already, you know, won a gold glove, and he's my number one, who I think is going to be the best of all of them.
Yes.
I think Wells is almost there.
I think he's
a tremendous catcher. Tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
And he always could hit. And eventually he'll start. I know he had 3 good weeks and then it was done. But he's so concentrated because people had told him that the catching was a work in progress. But he's going to hit and he's going to be fine. That's what people have always said. He took this so seriously that he has turned into some catcher. You should talk to, you know, if you talk to a Rodon or a Cole about Austin Wells, I think what he's done is remarkable. And learning all those, you know, this is a rookie who did this, who was catching in the playoffs in a pennant rung for the New York Yankees. That's a hard thing to do. I think he's got a lot of potential still. Dominguez, you don't know, he told me the last thing I talked to him about as we are, you know, after that loss, he had said that he was going down to, he was going to play over the winter and he was going to work on his defense. He knows he's very smart. He knows what he needs to do. He is a better left-handed hitter than a right-handed hitter. He wanted to work on the right-handed hitting so that he would be good from either side. And don't forget, he's, what, 20?
He's young.
Yeah. Well, yep. I don't know. I think the three of them are fine. You know, we've forgotten about something. I was at a dinner last week, and Spencer Jones was there getting an award as and Ben Rice are going down to Tampa early January, and they're going to start working out and doing things because they know, you know, there are people there that I think that can help during the season, and they do have some talent, and they keep talking about Caleb Durbin. He's going to be a good player. He really is. He's not Pedroia yet, but he might be at some point. He's that kind of player.
Can you give us a little scout report? Because I know a lot of people know the name, but I haven't seen him really do anything.
Okay, I only saw him in spring training. Yep. I saw him last year, and I love going down and seeing the kids, and I put little stars, 2 and 3 stars. He was playing. He can really run. He's a really good base runner. He's not all that bad, but he's a really good base runner. He plays all over the infield, and he's got some pop, and he's a little like Pedroia. He looks like Pedroia to me. It's a little stockier than Pedroia, but he plays great defense wherever you put him, and there's something about him that you look and you put the little star there. And I never saw him during the season. I guess he's up in Scranton now. I guess he ended up in Scranton. But that's what we were talking about in spring training. And then, you know, the season goes on and you sort of forget and you sort of watch and see what they did. I think he was injured also this year. But they're talking about, they do have kids down there. You know, they're probably going to lose a couple of pitchers in the Rule 5 draft, so they really are kind of stocked with kids, and they're hoping that some of them can come up because they absolutely, literally have to rebuild that bullpen.
Would you trade any of those young kids for Garrett Crochet?
I don't know. I haven't seen Garrett Crochet, and how injured is he?
Yeah, I mean, he seemed to be pretty healthy. That's just one of the rumors, Mets and Yanks involved.
Yeah, I know.
He's going to take a lot of prospects there. The other thing I was going to ask you, Susan.
Except for Michael King and Higgy, who now has, God bless Kyle Higashioka, got himself a really nice job. One of our favorite people. But except for King, who was an okay pitcher, they got a year of Juan Soto for people that they did not miss. They're pretty good at this.
Yeah, I didn't think the pitching was going to be a big issue. Even, last year, they were pretty good. You still got Clark Schmidt and Luis Gil. In your plan, you mentioned both Walker and Arenado on the corners and the infield, and I understand why, but would you be concerned at all about the age of both of those guys?
No, I would not, because one, the one, as I said, Walker has gotten better defensively every year. As he's a late bloomer. He's one of those. He's gotten better. He's gotten older. And I think, one, Arenado's, he's a great player. I just think he needs to get out of there. I mean, it gets really, really wearing being on a losing team and being a star like that. It really does. I think he would be energized. You know, he knows how old he is.
Yep.
If he's got a chance to go to the World Series or go to the playoffs, you don't think he'd, you know, I think he's got a no trade also. Oh, he's a free agent, right? So we're in math.
He's got a couple years.
Right, that's right. I'm thinking of Walker. Yeah, he's got a couple years left, but I think he's got a complete no trade.
Okay.
So they would have to ask him. I would think he would jump at this.
There were reports.
And by the way, when John Mozeliak said last night on MLB that they are going to trade him, obviously the player knows this.
Yeah, there were reports that said he'd be open to going to a contender.
Mm-hmm. Susan, what kind of deal you think Gleyber Torres gets?
With the money that's being thrown around now, I have no idea. I hope he gets what he wants. He still is hoping that the Yankees will call him, but that's not going to happen.
No,
man. Move on.
I don't know. I've heard Toronto. I've heard the Mariners. But how do you know about money now? Look at the money. You know, Willy Adames got all this money. You know, he's a really great player, but he hasn't been in the World Series.
No. How about Sethi?
Mm.
Yeah, someone's going to have to call him and find out what that's all about.
I mean, now A's.
How about the A's? It's not Sevy. It's the A's
all of a sudden spending money.
Yep. They couldn't have spent that money and cleaned up the bathrooms and the Oakland Coliseum.
Get a pipe or two? Yeah, get some toilet paper.
And maybe put Sevy on double duty.
You know, get the possums out of the radio booth.
Hey, you're paying him nearly $70 million, Susan. He only got to pitch once every 5 days. Maybe Sevy can clean up the ballpark outside of that. I mean, obviously.
I guess the Sacramento park is gorgeous. Yeah. It holds 14,000 people, and they put in new grass, and they got new lighting, and I hear it's a beautiful place to be. They are looking for a team. So they're going to do everything to make the A's really, really happy. and help and have Major League Baseball consider them when they expand.
You'd be okay, Susan, with obviously Judge going to move to right field. You're okay with Dominguez in center field?
He's going to show me he can play the outfield.
Sounds like you want Bellinger instead.
That was a no. Yeah, that was a no.
Yeah.
I mean, I want Bellinger too.
No,
I'm with you.
20. I mean, if you had a chance right now, would you want Cody Bellinger out there or Jason Dominguez?
I want Bellinger.
Yeah, I do too.
All right, and then you'd have Dominguez in left and no Profar, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, have we given Jason Dominguez a spot on this team?
Mm-hmm. Okay. See, we're getting some.
Are we having conversation? I'd be happy with Jason Dominguez worked really hard at left field. He has said, I'm a center fielder. I'm really trying. Yeah. It's just the ball comes up the bat different. He is a center fielder. And usually center fielders can play left or right. He's so tentative when the ball comes off the bat. If you watch him. There's just something about him that it's not at ease. And I think a lot of it was he felt it was an audition and he was trying really hard.
Susan, you think Gerrit Cole, I know it's kind of a guess based on what we saw with the injury. You think Gerrit Cole is going to be the same guy next year? Absolutely. No doubt.
Yes, I do. Okay. Yes, I do. Yes, because if you'd watched how he, by the way, we haven't talked about that. How about that? Gerrit Cole saying, no, forget that I asked for the opt-out. It's okay, I'll stay. I don't need
the
money.
He's the anti-Juan Soto. Give him a swing. Yeah.
Well, you know, so I guess Cashman said, no, I'm sorry.
Yep.
We're going as far as we can with you.
Yep.
And he said, okay, never mind. How about that?
I love it. It's a good flex by Cash. He had to do it. Cole doesn't have the juice he used to have.
He tested
the leverage.
He tried to test it. Yanks
well,
pulled
his bluff.
Well,
he tested it. That's okay. That's his right.
Yep.
He also has the right to say, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I'll just stay where I am for my $35 million.
Susan, I just want to get out in front of this. I'm going to need a couple for May 16th, Juan Soto's first at bat back in the Bronx. It's going to be an event, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You want two of my four?
I mean, if you have them.
Sure.
You have to pay. They're not free.
No, that's all right. That's all right. Oh, no, that's fine with me. Well, I mean, it is good. I was partially joking, but no, hell, we dig back. Hey, that's going to be the hottest ticket. BT and I were talking about we're going to get out there. Can you imagine, Susan, the reaction? Where BT mentioned yesterday, Juan Soto might be the greatest Yankee villain. Of all year.
Villain.
The reaction when Soto steps into the Yankee Stadium batter's box for the first time as a member of the New York Mets.
You know, I don't know that. I mean, they still are screaming at Altuve, who is more of a villain. Oh, maybe he will be the first time. It also depends on where the Yankees are in the standings and where the Mets are in the standings, I think. You know, if the Yankees are rolling right along, he's going to get booed anyway. It's going to, you know, of course he is. But there will be people that will cheer. Because I know, you know, he was here a year. We're talking about him like he was here, like he was a homegrown Yankee.
Man, but he was treated like a homegrown Yankee.
Well, he was, and everybody thought that it would make a difference if they were nice, if everyone was nice.
Yeah.
You know, when you're that. I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Okay. I've heard a couple of would you sign Alex Bregman to play here in New York?
I would if his power played a little bit more to right field. He is a left field pull hitter, Houston, that plays. I don't love his age. I'm okay with the whole cheating. I've moved on from that.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
There was an argument on one of the networks
the other night. You can't bring him in here. And I think, oh, no, as soon as you bring someone in here, you know, he's your guy.
Yep.
Yeah, I would not let the cheating scandal impact it. I'm with BT. I just don't think he's the player that I want right now if I'm the Yankees. But the cheating thing,
right.
Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, think about this. Susan, the Yankees brought in Clemens after he drilled Jeter back. Like, you can move on from stuff. It's happened
before.
No,
I know. That happens all the time.
Yep.
Everybody thought that there'd be fist fights with Mattingly and Boggs. And I got to spring training the first year Boggs arrived in there doing wind sprints in the outfield together.
Mm.
I mean, it's just,
By the way, who would have won that fight? Say Donnie.
Come on, Boggs.
Donnie.
Who would have won that fight?
Yeah, oh, Donnie. Boggs or Mattingly.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Donnie.
Donnie would be.
That's right,
he's
Susan.
Tougher than Boggs?
He would have wrecked Boggsy.
Interesting.
Yeah, oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
How's the offseason treating you, Susan?
Oh, terrific. I have just finally cleaned up from having 11 people at my house for Thanksgiving, including 5 children under the age of 8.
Wow. Oh, that must have been a nightmare.
Goodness.
Little kids running around touching the walls and everything.
They've since stopped by for dessert.
It was actually great. The weather was warm enough that we could go outside and play ball and all those, and play soccer and play baseball. It was great. And when people had tantrums, it was always one at a time, which was really good.
That's good. Although you can also get five out of the way at once and not have to deal with the succession of them. So, by the way, I went to see Moana 2 with my daughter last Friday. Have you seen that?
That's terrible reviews.
Well, the music wasn't as good, Susan. Mm. That's the problem.
Was it written by Lin-Manuel Miranda?
I don't believe it was. I think it was a different composer, if that's the right word. I don't think it was.
See, that's what they do.
Yeah.
They don't want to pay that. So they, you know, we'll get someone that sounds like him.
Yeah. Well, you had The Rock and you had the other stuff. It was okay, but have you seen that or Wicked yet? What are you doing?
No, I have not. No, I haven't been in a movie theater since COVID. No.
Oh, I'll wait till it comes on Netflix.
Yeah, no, I don't want to go in a movie theater.
Really? I love the movies. I still love the movies.
No, I'm going to theater instead.
Yeah, what are you going to see?
If that's okay. Tonight I'm going to see the revival of Our Town.
I have no idea what that's about.
I'd be lying.
Can you educate us?
Sounds great.
just a minute. You don't know Our Town by Thornton Wilder?
You're going to make us look like complete idiots, but yeah. I think the answer is no.
Oh, my goodness.
What is it? Our Town?
Educate us.
Our Town.
Wilder? Our Town.
I know
Thornton
town.
Wilder. Jeez, Thornton Wilder. He's very... Thornton.
Thornton. I never heard of him, Susan.
I'm scared to hunt you, dude.
Where did you go to school?
He barely graduated high school, Susan.
You may not know this. I didn't go to college. College wrong?
No, I read Our Town in ninth grade.
Oh, that kind of school?
Okay, yeah. You might know the star. His name is Richard Thomas, okay?
Sorry, I'm not familiar with him.
John Boy?
John Boy? I know John Boy.
His name is Richard Thomas.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. No, like John Boy Media, I know. I don't know Richard Thomas.
Oh, my God. All
I
right.
think Katie Holmes is in it, right? Let me
yes,
help
she
out.
Is.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah,
no,
like, yes, you knew that.
I haven't seen her in 10 years, but okay.
Katie Holmes, I love. All right.
Yes.
Well, enjoy it, Susan. And thank you. Her, I know. Why are you
oh, my
with
God.
That? Come
Thornton
on.
Wilder, it's a classic. How do you not know about Thornton Wilder?
I don't know. I got to look it up. And now I feel uneducated, Susan. I'm sorry. We can talk Mets Yankees, but when it comes to Broadway,
more
I don't
politics.
Know what the hell I'm talking about.
No, this
more
isn't
politics.
A Broadway show. This is a classic. I was in eighth, ninth grade when I read Our Town.
Hey, listen.
American...
I read, like, Catcher in the Rye,
exactly.
Where the Red Fern
Moby
Grows.
Moby Dick, Animal Farm. Yeah. I read a little bit back in the day. Little bit.
Okay, Our Town is America. It takes place in a little town in New Hampshire. It's America. It's timeless.
Okay. It's on the list. It's on the list, Susan.
No, it's not.
It's on my... Well, no, it's not. Not yet. You caught me. I'm going to put it on my list, though.
What years does it depict, by the way? Like the 50s? What are we talking about here?
Whenever he wrote... I don't know when he wrote it.
How do you not know when he wrote it? You're such a big fan, Susan. Come on.
Well, because I wasn't sitting there. I don't know. I mean, I know when Scott Fitzgerald wrote Great Gatsby in 1929.
There you go.
That I know. I saw the movie. I love that. Great
Gatsby. Oh,
and I read the book, The Great Gatsby. No, it was great. I enjoyed that. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Susan. I got some homework to do, clearly. Thank you. Enjoy the offseason.
Great stuff.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Susan. Awesome. Oh, I can't wait for her and Dave to be together.
Wilder.
They're going to be good, man.
You've heard of him before, Thornton Wilder?
No.
Dove, have
I've
you heard
of Gene Thornton? Wilder.
Yeah, Gene Wilder. Exactly. Yes. No.
Nope.
Hoff, you've never
What was the first name? Thornton? I remember Bootsy Thornton from St. John's, not Thornton Wilder.
It is a first performance, 1938.
How the hell am I going to know this guy?
And it took place in 1901 to 1913.
Not interested.
To be fair, she was listing me all the names in the show as well, off air, and she said Katie Holmes. I'm like, Katie Holmes is great. She's
that
like,
one I know.
She kind of just like breezed past, like wanted to ignore that one.
Yeah. Well, because she wanted to do a little intellectual flex. She knew all that right. Like that's the one name we might know, and if she drops three or four, we look like dummies, and she looks brilliant.
All right, we'll take a
Which
quick
is probably
break.
The case.
Come back with your calls, and then we'll reset 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Why did Juan Soto pick the New York Mets? Our last caller before the break, a great Yankee fan, Stephen Bayside, a Yankee fan, said he wanted to leave the Yankees. He felt better about the Mets and cited that the Mets aren't done and they're going to continue being active in this offseason. Let's get some facts out of the way just so we know it. Even with the addition of Juan Soto, the Mets currently have a payroll of about $230 million, which is well below last year's number because they had a lot of money coming off the books.
Right.
So even with adding Soto's $51 million a year, the Mets had so much money come off the books, even including the signing of Clay Holmes and Frankie Montas, they now have, and this includes arbitration-eligible guys, rookies, all that, about $230. The Yankees' guaranteed amount of money right now, after losing Juan Soto, is also $230. So I want to make that clear before Hal gets killed for, well, Soto saw what they were going to spend. Well, wait a second. If Soto re-signs, they're at $280.
That's right.
So, again, that's the information. Use it in your brain however you want. But the idea of, well, he looked at the Mets' commitment to spending versus the Yankees' commitment to spending. We need to be fair about what the Yankees have already committed to spending. And if you want to rip that and say, hey, signing Carlos Rodon was a mistake, signing DJ LeMahieu was a mistake, fair game. They were mistakes. But that's the guaranteed number that the Yankees and the Mets owe. That's number one. Number two, John Heyman. And as we know, even if he gets a little offended by it, he knows what's going on. I can't believe it either. So he has a story that he has now repeated that you may have heard, maybe you haven't, that Juan Soto, quote, was allegedly upset early in his Yankee tenure when, a quote, an overzealous security guard restricted one of Soto's family members and his chef and driver from certain areas of Yankee Stadium. He was upset by this, which you tell me as a former player, not that you had a chef and a driver, but I can, you would be upset by this, I assume?
It depends. If you had been there for a long time and everybody knew you and knew who your chef was and knew who your driver was, it'd be one thing. You're there for a cup of coffee? You're going to get mad about them? I'm more concerned that Juan Soto was upset about this. Like, do you know who I am?
You think it was a you know who I am spot?
That's what it sounds like.
Okay, maybe. By the way, I'm not judging who's right or wrong, but according to John Heyman, Soto was upset. The Yankees ended up fixing this, and everything turned out to be okay. But it's coming out now. And I want to make this clear. To my fellow Met fans, don't be offended by this, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Juan Soto didn't leave the New York Yankees because of an overzealous security guard. I think that's a bunch of crap. I don't even believe Juan Soto left the Yankees because he didn't like the organization or he didn't have a close relationship with Hal Steinbrenner. I think that's a bunch of crap. I don't think Juan Soto left the Yankees because David Stearns detailed the rest of his offseason plans and said, ooh, I love that more. I think Juan Soto left the New York Yankees, and this is going to be unbelievable, it's breaking news. I think he left the New York Yankees because the Mets offered him more money. And it's being downplayed. Well, it was close. Was it? The Mets said to him, here's $51 million a year. And oh, by the way, we're going to give you an opt-out after year five, to which we can make it $54 million a year. And the Yankees offered $47.5 million a year. That's over each year.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. They also offered him a greater signing bonus. So I don't know why this would offend Met fans, because personally, I could give two rats patoots why Juan Soto picked my team. All I care about is that he did. But I think this is clear as day. This is not about the organization. I don't even think it's about the owner, unless proven otherwise. I think it's about, and I give Steve credit for this. I love that Steve did this. I think he picked the New York Mets because they made a bigger and better financial offer.
Well, it'll be interesting to see when Juan Soto actually comments on this. Because he needs to be asked these questions.
Yeah, but what's he going to say, T?
He'll say the right thing, but it's how he says the right thing
the
that
matters.
The
school system is better in Queens than the Bronx?
I don't think he cares. Homeschool your children, Juan Soto. Doesn't matter.
Or live in Westchester or Jersey either way. Doesn't matter.
Which is most likely what he'll do anyways. Better schools.
Yeah, look, I don't know what Juan Soto's going to say, but I'm going to tell you this right now, and I hope all Met fans can get on board with this. I don't care. Like, I do not care why Juan Soto picked the New York Mets. I really don't. I didn't care a decade and a half ago when Carlos Beltran picked the Mets, and it offended people that he went back to the Yankees. You could ask Joe about it. It pissed him off forever that he went back to the Yankees. And I remember saying to him, who cares?
Right.
He picked the Mets. So in this Soto sweepstakes, as we try to figure out, like, why this happened and why that happened, I'm a simple guy. They offered him the biggest contract. Cool.
He picked the Mets because they have a brighter future.
Come on.
Because I have to hear from Yankees. Yeah, because I thought Yankee fans had, you're a Yankee, it's the pinstripe, it's the brand, you have your best chance to win a World Series, and the offers were close enough, and the Yankees could have went up a little higher. He sided with the Mets because he believes in the front office,
Tommy,
he believes in the owner,
Tommy,
and he believes in the direction.
The Yankees didn't go up, okay?
Right.
So we can rip out for that. That's up for the Yankee fans. They stopped at $47.5 million. The Mets were at 51 with an escalator to 54 and a higher signing bonus. I don't think that's minor.
Evan. No.
It's being portrayed like it is that the Mets offered him more money. If I'm the player, you're the player, Evan. Tommy. You wouldn't have taken the Met offer?
Yeah, but Evan, the money at that point means nothing. To my point is, if you have $700 million... Well, you know what? If someone wants to give me $700 million, let's see how long it takes me to spend it. 700 to 800 shouldn't matter if you believe in the direction of the team, because I think a lot of people were cocky and confident that he would take a lesser offer to stay with the Yankees because they are the better team.
But why would he do that?
Because the Yankees are perceived to be the better team, the better organization, with the better future, with the better past.
Okay, but the Mets were just in the NLCS.
Right.
The Mets have a billionaire owner who's willing to spend the money.
But the Yankees went to the World Series with Soto, and another piece might have got him over the hump.
It's a step. It doesn't matter. Right? I don't
understand this like nonsense about... By the way, both teams are allowed to have bright futures. The Yankees just have the Rookie of the Year, the guy who finished third in Rookie of the Year, young pieces. They have the other best player in the sport, not named Ohtani and Aaron Judge.
Right.
So
let's not forget, the Yankees are consistent playoff attendees. Mm-hmm. They have the best player in baseball, at least in the American League right now, and Aaron Judge. Forget what the future says, but the Yankees are not in this destitute spot.
Soto should have signed with the Yankees.
No. It's what Evan said.
It's the most money.
Thank you. It gave him the most money.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
And for you to say there's nothing, well, what's the difference between 760? Well, what's the difference between 500 and 700 when you have that many millions of dollars?
Right.
It's the aura of he's the highest paid athlete ever.
I got
the highest paid either way.
What is it from a tax standpoint for Ohtani?
Because
it's not 700.
The luxury tax?
It's like 46.
Yeah.
It's like 46. He wanted to best that.
Right, and he bested everything. Here's the ultimate question to prove my point. Tommy, if the Mets offer was 16 years, 760, the Yankees offer, and the Yankees offer was 15, 765 with escalators to 800, that's the Met offer, where would Juan Soto have signed?
With the Mets.
That's ridiculous.
How is that ridiculous?
Because there's no evidence of that. He took the best offer. Like, Scott would have gone back to the Mets and Steve and said, hey, can you get to this? And if Steve said no, it would have been over. Like, that's just fictitious to think that. He took the best offer, and I have no ill will toward it. I love it. I think it's great. It's a compliment to Steve Cohen. But we don't need to make believe it's something other than that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's enough that he took the most money. But there's no reason you would actually believe that if the Mets actually made the Yankee offer and the Yankees made the Mets offer, that he would have picked the Mets over the Yankees.
So, because I thought, or at least it was perceived that way, where the gap between the Yankees and the Mets was so wide that even though the Mets went a little higher, up to $800 million, that wasn't enough
to sway it.
Forget
what Yankee fans told you. That's irrelevant.
Well, what we've watched
Forget what we watched. Forget about what Yankee fans said over the last 3 months. Oh, and if it's close, he'll pick the Yankees. Even if I said that, it doesn't matter. Why would he take less money to go to the New York Mets? He didn't. The Mets made a bigger, better offer. The Yankees tapped out. That's why he picked the Mets. All this other stuff. You know what I think it is?
Mm-hmm.
John won't like this, Mr. John Heyman. That stuff gets leaked out to explain why he picked the Mets.
Can't even believe it.
When the explanation is, they offered more money. It's not a quarrel he had with Yankee security. And by the way, his meeting with ownership, like Steve did it at his mansion in L.A. and there was a personal touch to it. I'm not saying that isn't a great thing, but ultimately that wasn't going to supersede the contract offer.
Right.
So why can't we just accept that?
Because there are fans like Lugauer, and Evan is not one of these, that this is getting Juan Soto is not enough today. It is... We have to prove to the world that people prefer the Mets and the Mets' future over the Yankees.
Well, it's obvious that Juan Soto saw all the fun that was happening in Queens and said, I want to be a part of that organization. I want to be a part of that team. I want to be a part of that future.
Maybe he did, but I still think it came down to money.
Well,
you're saying might be emotionally correct, but I don't think it had anything to do with the decision.
And honestly, we'll never know because Juan Soto's not at his press conference next week. I hear it's next week. He's not going to say, I came here for the money.